Christian Philosophy by Joseph M. de Tours, read by Joseph Freundorfer, with permission from Sinagtala Publishers. Part 6. Ethics. Chapter 34. Introduction. Section A. Metaphysics of the End and of the Moral Order. What is the object of the metaphysics of the end, or of the good, or of the moral order? This is the metaphysical study of the end of man, and of human acts, in so far as they are related to that end. This science is called ethics, from the Greek ethos, which means habit or custom. It is also called morals, from the Latin mos, plural moris, which means custom, in the sense of natural inclination to act with an intention, i.e. with the direction to an end. Why is morals or ethics part of metaphysics? Because the rule, standard, of moral actions is the end of man, but end is the good or perfection of being, see chapter 19, section E. Ethics studies human action both in their inner order and in their order to the end of man, or, in other words, how man should live in order to attain his end. Human actions are the object of ethics, insofar as they are ordained to the end of man, not in their physical reality. Their moral being is determined by their relationship to the end of man. Section B. Free actions. Since man is free by nature, as we saw in chapter 30, only free actions are human and thereby moral. A free action, says St. Thomas, is an action of which man is the master. The actions of which man is not the master are not human actions, even though they may happen to be performed by a man. Free means conscious and willing. Man is the owner of that action. He can own that action and say, "It is my responsibility." This is because, as we have seen, man directs himself to his end freely, not in the sense that he chooses his natural end out of his own judgment, but in that he conducts or directs himself to it by his own determination. We can therefore say that the two basic topics of ethics are 1. The end of man, objective aspect of morality. 2. The freedom of man, subjective aspect. We shall develop this point in chapter 39, section A. Section C. Ethics as part of metaphysics. Is ethics part of metaphysics on account of its material or of its formal object? See chapter 25, section A. Let us recall that metaphysics studies being as such. The entire reality is its material object, but it focuses on being as such, precisely as its formal object, so that the metaphysical outlook consists in looking at things in their being. Thus, if we look at human actions in their being, i.e. in their ultimate ordination to the end of or perfection of their being, we are looking at them metaphysically. Therefore, the material object of ethics is human action, but it looks at them in their being, and so ethics is metaphysics by its formal object, because it studies an aspect of being as such, which is the good of human actions. As part of metaphysics, then, ethics is rational philosophy, just as natural theology is also natural philosophy. However, just as natural theology has continuity with supernatural theology, ethics too has continuity in the supernatural order with moral theology, which, as supernatural theology, raises ethics to the supernatural order with the enlightenment of faith. But moral theology finds a necessary instrument in the metaphysics of the moral order, see chapter 2, section C. Regarding the material object of ethics, we said it is human actions, or free human actions. But we should add that these human acts can be studied not only in the person as such, but also in the context of society, both family and, civil society. See social ethics. And as we saw in chapter 25, section C, ethics is the foundation of all the sciences about man or social sciences. Section D, ethical science and moral uprightness. In order to study ethics, one needs to have the right moral dispositions, which are not so much required for the study of other sciences which are not human or sapientio, like metaphysics or theology. See chapter 6, section D. A person who is not morally upright studies physics, chemistry, biology, etc., and this does not per se affect the studies, but in ethics it does. One has to be morally attuned to it, because each science requires the adequate proportion between the student and the object of science, which in this case is the good of man. Moral science is not only speculative, i.e., ordained to the acquisition of a stable knowledge, but also practical, i.e., ordained to action, namely rational or meaningful action. But, like every practical science, it is based on a speculative science. Practice is based on theory. See chapter 6, section C. Science, strictly speaking, is speculative. Practical science is rather technique or art. Besides, the practicality of ethics affects human behavior. We apply this science to ourselves by means of the intellectual habit of prudence. Dealing with conscience, see chapter 38, the intellectual habits are classified into five: three speculative, first principles, science, wisdom, and two practical, technique or art, which applies to facere, and prudence, which applies to agere, see chapter 33, section D. Section E, order of this study. As we have seen in metaphysics, the difference between created being and uncreated being is that the latter is the fullness of being, while the former is participated, see chapter 16, section A. Therefore, created being is not perfect, it is unfinished or ordained to an end. The good of created being, then, is a good of order, namely, the order to the end. Thus, it is not good except insofar as it moves towards the end, which is the final cause. This good of order of created being is its ordination to God as last end of all being. When man loses this ordination, he falls away from his good, thus damaging both himself and society. The evil of disorder replaces the good of order. The logical sequence of our study is therefore 1. God as the total end of man, not as the first cause of all being, which is the object of natural theology, and the happiness of man, which consists in the final attainment of this last end. 2. The common good, i.e., the good of society and of the universe as a whole, because man is part both of the universe and of society. 3. The objective rule of morality, i.e., the moral law, or natural law, as derived from the end of man, and the subjective rule of morality, i.e., the conscience of man, whereby man applies the objective rule to his own individual acts. 4. The way man has to follow to reach his end or good, i.e., the moral acts, and specifically the defective moral act, namely sin, and the role of the dispositions in these acts, virtues and vices. 5. The free activity of men as members of the social community, or ordained to the common good, social ethics.